Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Phil Spencer, who is the Watford writer for Football.London. He's on to share his thoughts on Watford ahead of this match against Fulham. This is our View of the Opposition show. I look forward to doing the show, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome back Phil to the show, as he was on before the QPR match at Craven Cottage last season. Phil, I want to welcome you back to Cottage Talk. How you doing? Thank you for joining me today.
No problem. No, thank you very much for having me back.
Well, I had such a good time talking to you last season, and it's so good that you're covering Watford now, so I could have you back on Cottage Talk, and of course that Fulham's in the Premier League, and we can have this conversation about these two teams. It's a fascinating match, and we'll get to that. Let's start with just focusing more on Watford. And I want to start by talking about the four victories to start the season. This was a great start to the season for Watford. Through your eyes, talk about the beginning of the season, and then afterwards we'll talk about their first loss against Manchester United. But let's start with the victories.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I think going into the other season, I think there was there wasn't too much attention around Watford, really. I think the end of last season, they got over the line in terms of avoiding relegation. They did it fairly comfortably, but there were no great shakes last season in terms of their performances. And I think they were one of the other teams who were just kind of expected to go quietly about the business going into the new season. I think what happened was over the summer they brought in some smart recruits. They weren't necessarily all big name signings, but there were players who were quite intelligent people who could bring a lot to Watford's squad. And so by working hard behind the scenes on fitness more than anything, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Troy Deeney in a little bit, but he kind of epitomises that by coming back in much better shape than what he was in last season. And they basically were able to go into the season fully ready for the new campaign. And by doing that, they've been able to get off to the best possible start with those four straight league wins. And I think that is down to the preparation that's gone on during pre-season.
Okay, so for you, it really is about all the work leading up to the beginning of the season. But is there a common thread between these four matches? Because I watched the match against Burnley, and I'm watching it. And again, I thought it was two even teams. Funny, because I was listening to this podcast, the Ronnie and Ramage podcast, and they were talking about a disciplined team. That's one of the things that I watched when I was watching this match. And when they got their opportunities, they pounced. So is this a team that has what I think is togetherness, that they play as a unit? Would that be the common thread?
I think so, yeah. I think that's definitely one of the common threads of the team. I think something that that Javi Gracia brings to the team, he's a very humble man. He works extremely hard behind the scenes, but there's nothing flashy about him. And I think that's the kind of thing that he's trying to get across into his team. It's not about individual performances and individually going out there and stealing the show. It's about working hard for your teammates and basically, like you said, capitalising on any opportunities that you're given. And I mentioned the fitness before, but I think that's been a key part of it, because if there was one criticism of Watford so far, is that they've maybe got off to a slightly slower start in a lot of these games, but they've kind of like warmed up through each of the halves. And so they've been able to really kick on, particularly in the second half of games, by using their fitness and their high pressing game to kind of suffocate the opposition and get the rewards which ultimately come with that.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's talk about the flip side, the loss to Manchester United. I think that you can learn a great deal about a team in a loss. So what did you learn about Watford in this match?
I think in terms of that match compared to the other ones, I don't think there was anything really that you could criticise about Watford's performances. It's not like it wasn't a game where everything had kind of gone out of the window from the four victories previous to that. They did everything exactly the same. They went out there, and although it was a slightly slower start, they kept themselves in the game. And I think it was, more than anything, it was a lapse of concentration over a 5-minute spell, which gave Man United the way into the lead. That kind of caught the Watford team off guard. It was purely about concentration, really. And I think one one thing that Watford have been, I suppose, lacking a little bit of this season is that kind of like dominance in the penalty area from a defensive point of view. When the opposite team are putting balls into the box, I think Ben Foster, as much as he's a fantastic shot stopper, he does occasionally struggle with commanding his area, and that's something which Man United managed to capitalise on in that particular game. But after their two goals, I think what you saw from Watford was very much what we saw in the previous four games, where they were working hard, they were pressing Man United, and ultimately in the second half they got the one goal back through Andre Gray. But they were very much knocking on the door in the closing stages, and really could have brought it back to a 2-2 if Christian Cavazzelli hadn't been denied by a fantastic save by De Gea. Yeah, and I think that Watford were potentially unlucky not to get something out of the game. Not taking anything away from Man United, because they were very good on the day as well. But it wasn't a performance from Watford which anyone would be concerned about, because they showed exactly the same characteristics as had shown in the previous games. They came up against an opponent who were able to punish them when the moment counted.
Okay, excellent. And I did catch the end of that match, and that was just one of those saves by De Gea you just can't do anything about. But good point by you, because they possibly should have had that equalizer. Maybe they've earned it. But their play, really, like you said, not much different from the first four games. And unfortunately, it was a loss, but it sounds like there still is that common thread going through these first five matches. So that's going to lead me to ask you about Watford manager Javi Gracia. And I'm curious about him and the job he's done this season. I know he came in midstream last season. So what has he given Watford that has been the difference? You talked about the fitness. Obviously, he has a hand in that. But there has to be more that he has brought to Watford this season compared to what they were dealing with last season.
I think in terms of what he's brought in, the second half of last season, he obviously came into the other job in January, and it was very much just a case of kind of seeing the team through to the end of the season. It's quite hard to instill your own methods when you're halfway through the season and you don't really have a lot of time on the training ground with fixtures coming thick and fast. So he kind of muddled his way through to the end of the season. What wasn't really anything spectacular other than some decent home form last season, but I think having the summer to get his methods across to the team, it's something which has come across and it's been really fruitful for the Watford team. As I mentioned before, he's a very humble guy, but he's also a very intelligent guy, and he's a very hard working person as well. So what he's tried to do is he's built up the fitness of the other players behind the scenes. It's kind of increased the industry of the Watford squad. They're working harder and running further than they have done before. All of the players look in a noticeably better shape than what they were in last season. And I think what he's kind of done is he's quite a light-hearted individual, but you get the sense that he can be a disciplinarian when he needs to be. So as much as the spirit within the squad is going to be extremely upbeat, and he'll have a laugh and a joke with his players and that kind of thing, and you do get the impression that he does have some, an element of strictness behind the scenes. There's been reports, for example, that he fines his players £100 for every minute that they are late for training, things like that. So if they're a minute late,
that, by the way,
it's something which you kind of go, oh god, that's like a lot of money for anyone to lose. But when you're a footballer, it's still a significant amount of money, and I suppose it's enough to get you motivated, because regardless of who you are, you might be the best footballer on the planet, you might be you could be Cristiano Ronaldo, you could be Messi or anyone, but if you're turning up and you're turning up late, it's just rude more than anything. I think that's what he's kind of wanting from his team. No one should be above the station. No one's bigger than the club, and so the minimum that he's hoping for from each of his players is that they turn up on time and they work hard while they're there. And it sounds like those reports, if they are true, he did say that he confirmed that was the case, that was one of the rules that they have. Wow. But that's just kind of like an underlying tone of the kind of discipline that he's got within his squad. And the most important thing is that all of the players have bought into that as well. So they've kind of embraced these rules, and they kind of go, yeah, no, I think that's a fair rule to have in place. And that's something which has ultimately contributed towards Watford's success so far this season.
Well, you just said something that I think is key for any team, the buy-in. The players have to buy in. If they buy in, that's a huge thing, and obviously they have. So let me ask you, with the buy-in and you're talking about the discipline, it sounds like to me that this Watford team has taken on the personality of Garcia. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's very fair to say. I think Garcia, when he was a player, he was a very good player. I wouldn't say that he was the best player out there in the world, but he was certainly a very good player. But what he did well was he worked tirelessly himself. He put in a shift for his team. It was very much about the team effort, and that is something which he's put across to his team. And if you look at the other players who are playing for him week in, week out, there's no doubting that they're doing exactly the same. And I think ultimately, if a player wasn't doing that for him, he's got plenty of players in his squad who would do. So he's got a very good mentality within the other team and the squad at the moment. And that can only be a good thing if they all push themselves for starting places in his starting 11.
Okay, excellent there, Phil. All right, you were at his presser on Wednesday. What stood out to you in regards to the upcoming match?
I think the main thing that stood out from it was the fact that nothing really has changed in the last week. I think a lot of people would maybe think that they've got the other feet against Man United, the winning run's come to an end, that kind of fairy tale start is now out of the window. But from his point of view, it was very much exactly the same as what it was the week before. He was getting across the point that yes, they might have lost the game against Man United, but he saw everything that he'd seen in the previous games in terms of the work ethic and the effort that was on the pitch and obviously the quality that was out there as well. And so he was very much putting the message across that he wasn't concerned at all about the defeat to Man United. And as long as the team keep putting in the kind of performance that they did last weekend as well, he doesn't have any worries because he's confident that his side can pick up a good result moving forward. And that was something that he said about going into the weekend. And he is confident that if his team can put in that kind of performance again, that they'll be able to get the 3 points. And that kind of confidence is something that's clearly come from the first few games of the season from what he's seen from the squad.
Now, what I got from your article is that he's been using pretty much the same starting 11, but there are matches upcoming. Do you see any changes for this upcoming match?
I don't think so. No, I think in terms of the starting 11, he's tried to keep the faith with the same 11 going into each game, and that's been something which has been really successful for him. I think it's part of the hard work and the building of relationships within the team, which has done really well for Watford, as well as having the relationships between the manager and the players. It's about having those individual relationships between various people in the other team as well. So if you're looking at the midfielders, they've kind of forged quite a strong connection. If you're looking at the defence and the midfield kind of linking up, there's also a very clear understanding there as well. And so I think that's something which has worked well for him in terms of that consistency in the team. But whether he does choose to make any alterations, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, very good there, Phil. All right. Let's now talk about key players for Watford against Fulham as we start to really look at this match. And I can just tell you, this is just my opinion. I'm scared to see Troy Deeney and Andre Gray play again against Fulham because I have bad memories of seeing these two players play against Fulham in the Championship. So I remember them well. I know that they're two dangerous players, but there are other players to talk about as well. So give me your key players for this matchup.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Troy Deeney and Andre Gray. I think they've been a real, I wouldn't call them a surprise package there this season. I think everyone knew that on their day they could both be, I suppose, like credible Premier League strikers, I guess. People who wouldn't pull up any trees but would get a certain amount of goals between them. But I think the connection that they've shown, they're playing in a partnership up front, has been a particular highlight for Watford. I think they've linked up particularly well. Troy Deeney's playing the role of a target man with Andre Gray kind of playing off the shoulder of him, and that is something which has played out quite nicely for Watford. It's given them an extra dimension in attack, and the duo as a partnership has been really effective. Elsewhere in the team, the partnership of Doucouré and Kapuwe in midfield is another relationship which has really blossomed this season. Kapuwe is very much he kind of plays the almost the role of a quarterback in that team. He kind of drops very deep, almost between the two central defenders at times, and just looks to dictate play by spraying the ball around the park. Decore is more of a box-to-box midfielder, so he's tough in the tackle, but he's got the legs very much to join up with the attack as well. And as much as he hasn't done so this season, last season I think he got 7 or 8 goals from the centre of midfield, which for a mid-table Premier League side is quite impressive. And I think it's that work ethic and physicality which makes him a real threat when he does burst forward. Not to mention the array of passing that he does and some of the neat touches that he shows in midfield as well. He's only 24 or 25, but the intelligence that he shows on the pitch is quite remarkable. Hence, some of the links with the so-called bigger clubs in the Premier League as well.
Okay, very good there, Phil. All right, let's now go to strengths and weaknesses. What I like to do is I like to go to whoscored.com and read through their strengths and weaknesses of the opposition and see if they match up with your thoughts on the strengths and weaknesses of Watford. So let's start with what they list as strengths, and you tell me if they match up. Here are the strengths from whoscored.com. Creating chances through individual skill, stealing the ball from the opposition, creating chances using through balls, finishing scoring chances, attacking set pieces. Now, what I've seen, again, in a match and a half, because I watched about a half of the Manchester United match, I can pretty much vouch for all of these, but your thoughts on the strengths, and are there any other strengths that you would put on the table as well?
No, I think in terms of the strengths for Watford, I think they're all pretty accurate. I mean, in terms of taking the ball off the opposition, that's something that they do through their high press, and they do win the ball back in some good areas. They've also been very ruthless in front of goal, and like a lot of teams you see in Watford haven't necessarily had the better of the play in a lot of the games this season. They've been quite equal with almost the likes of Crystal Palace, or you mentioned that you saw the game with Burnley. That was a particularly even match. But I think the fact that Watford were able to capitalise on a spell of dominance and take those chances and put the game beyond doubt by taking those opportunities, that was the difference on the day, and it kind of took the sting out of the day. So I think that ruthless nature in front of goal has been particularly effective. And you mentioned the goals from set pieces as well. I think that's clearly something which Javi Gracia and his team have worked on. They've got some good players who can put some fierce deliveries into the box. It's been Jose Holabas who's taken a lot of the set pieces so far this season, but with the likes of Christian Cabaselli and Craig Cathcart and the strikers in the area as well, there's some real aerial dominance in there, and that is something which has paid off so far this term and could potentially be an area to watch for Watford against Fulham on Saturday.
See, I agree with you, and one of the other things that I want to really focus on is stealing the ball, because I read a very interesting article by Adrian Clark on PremierLeague.com. It's actually entitled "Watford Can Hurt Fulham Team in Transition," and this is something that concerns me for this match. And I'll just read something from it. So Adrian Clark says, "Fulham have been vulnerable after losing the ball, and that Watford will test that weakness further." So let's talk about this, because I think this is a key part of this upcoming match, because Fulham, I think, will try to dominate the play like they have in every single match. Even they tried against Manchester City, but it's Manchester City. They want the possession, but they have been open to these mistakes, and it's hurt them several times. So would you agree with me that this is something that we're going to have to watch for during the match?
Absolutely, yeah. I think you mentioned it just there. Obviously, I probably haven't seen Fulham as many times as what you have this season. But in terms of Fulham's style of play, everyone knows that they are very much a possession-based team. They like to build up play from the other back, and they do commit their fullbacks as well as a lot of their midfielders forward quite quickly. Yes. When they're moving forward with the ball, but as you mentioned, the high press that Watford play, they do win the ball back sometimes in some quite dangerous positions. So I think if Fulham can keep hold of the ball and not take too many risks against Watford, then that could be something which would go in Fulham's favour. But they also have to be careful, because if they do get caught out by Watford, and they've done it several times this season where they've caught the opposition in possession on the halfway line. If Fulham do commit too many players forward too early, then they could find themselves massively exposed for a Watford counter-attack, particularly down the flanks, which is an area which I think is going to be pivotal on Saturday for both teams, because the two teams do have some similarities in terms of how they do things. Watford play with quite advanced full-backs as well. And similarly, if they get caught in possession, it's an area which could be exploited for both sides. So I think that's definitely an area to watch for both teams going into the match.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, and I totally agree with you, because it's a concern from a Fulham perspective, losing the ball. I've seen it hurt them several times so far this season. But if they can balance it a little bit and be just a little careful, I'll just say that. I know Savisa's style is high risk, but if they could just watch themselves just a little bit and avoid these situations, I think that that could be an advantage for Fulham. I'm glad that you brought that up. But that's not going to lead me to talk about weaknesses. And this is what WhoScored.com says about weaknesses of Watford. You're already pretty much talking about it. It says keeping possession of the ball, defending against through ball attacks. So for me, this goes to a potential strength for Fulham, because they obviously want to possess the ball and they want to just dominate play, and they will take advantage of your mistakes. So let's talk about this. Do you agree with these two weaknesses for Watford?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think they pretty much hit the nail on the head for Watford. I think they've done quite well defensively this season, Watford. But similarly to what we were saying with Watford, I think with Fulham, sorry, the play down the other flanks is definitely going to be a key area. For Watford, it's been Jose Holabas on the left and Daryl Yanmat on the right, who've played in the Premier League games. And what both of those players like to do is to get forward. And very much Javi Gracia's system is about those two players in particular, providing the width on the attack. And yeah, similarly to Fulham, if Watford do get caught out in possession, it is an area which could be exposed. I mean, Fulham have got some particularly dangerous players in wide areas. So you just have to look at the likes of Sessegnon, or this season, if you look at the likes of Schürrle as well. Players like that who are really going to provide that kind of width and exploit those areas. And something which Watford have also been somewhat lacking, particularly in like central defensive areas, is a little bit of pace. So that if Fulham are able to play through some cleverly placed through passes into the wide areas, that is an area which Watford could be caught out on. So I think both of those areas are quite accurate, and definitely something that Watford need to be wary of going into the match.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's get into this. What are your thoughts on Fulham heading into this match?
Yeah, I think in terms of Fulham going into the match, it's they've made an all right start to life in the Premier League. I think we've kind of seen both sides of Fulham's play. They've looked good going forward. I think everyone's seen the passing and possession based style of play that Fulham like to play, and the fact that they've been able to do that in the Premier League with I think they've had an average of like 55% possession in their opening games. I think that's certainly something which you can count as a positive. But what we have seen is that slight, I don't want to call it defensive frailty, but it's almost the openness of Fulham's defence. You said before about how Jukanovic likes to play a slightly high risk approach, and it's that does kind of come across. Particularly in the Premier League, you are going to get punished if you're caught out in those areas more so than what you would do in the Championship. So I think while Fulham have looked impressive going forward, they do look a little bit vulnerable at the back, and it might well be a case of Fulham needing to rely on their goal scoring ability and ability in the final third to make sure that they don't get dragged into trouble this season. Because based on what we've seen so far, they are a side who are going to concede goals.
No, I'm there with you, and my hope is that they tighten that up, because I think going forward that they're going to score a great deal of goals. But Phil, what's interesting about Savisa, and I saw Ryan's account of his presser, Ryan O'Donovan, who's been on the show several times. I don't think he's changing who he is. I don't think he's going to change the approach at all. He talked on Cottage Talk, and he tried to get the balance, and he has this style, and he is a believer in it. In fact, I think he wants them to take even more risk and just be brave. He keeps talking about being brave and not being afraid. And so I just think that this is the style that he believes in. It does leave them open, but that doesn't mean that they can't work on their defensive frailties. And that's my hope, is that that catches up to what they're doing going forward. But we shall see. All right. In your mind, what are the key players from a Watford perspective that Watford fans should be concerned of? I'm curious your thoughts on this. I believe that Gracia mentioned Mitrovic. I would start there, honestly, because I think Mitrovic and Sarri would be the two places I would start. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I think both of those players, they're obviously very good players for Fulham. Mitrovic holds up the ball well, and he's very much the focal point of any attacks going into the area. But I think Watford have done quite well in those central areas. They've played Craig Cathcart and Christian Cabaselli in the central defensive areas, and they've done quite well against your kind of traditional target man in the Premier League. They came up against Romelu Lukaku last week, for example, and they coped relatively well, marking him out of the game. He did get his goal, which was down to a lapse in concentration, but for the most part, they did manage to handle him quite well. I think the players that Watford will need to be wary of are the players that are going to be working in and around them, to be honest. The likes of Schürrle, the likes of whether it's Sessegnon, who's playing in a wide area as well. Those kind of players will be there linking up with Mitrovic, the players who are going to be there to expose Watford's advanced fullbacks. And I think they're going to be the people who are almost going to decide the game from a Fulham point of view. If Fulham are going to be able to make that possession-based game count against Watford, it is going to be in those wide areas. And if Fulham can exploit those areas, then I think it could be a good afternoon for them. But I think certainly those wide areas are the areas to watch. And while you mentioned Sarri in the centre of midfield as well, I think Doucouré and Kapu have been arguably Watford's strongest partnership in the team so far this season. So the hope with them is that they'll be able to make sure that he has no time on the ball, because he'll very much dictate play from the centre of midfield. And if Doucouré and Kapu can kind of like keep him on quite a tight leash, then that'll be half the battle, because he is a quality player.
Okay, excellent. That's going to lead us to go through matchups. Which team has the advantage in each one of these matchups? So let's start with Fulham's attack going forward, because we're just talking about it, and Watford's defense. Which team would you give the advantage to in this matchup?
I'd probably have to say Fulham's attack, being completely honest. I think the amount of numbers that they do flood forward when on the front foot, Fulham, it's enough to cause any team problems. And I think the way that Watford play their game, with the fullbacks pushing forward, it can leave Watford a little bit exposed at times as well. That's one area, and like one aspect of that. I mentioned it a little bit earlier as well, and that I've noticed that Watford have looked almost a little bit frail when balls have been crossed into the box from those deep kind of wide areas. And if that's something that Fulham can exploit as well by getting the ball into the box, aiming for Mitrovic on the on the penalty area. It's Ben Foster, he's an extremely good goalkeeper, but like I said before, he does sometimes lack that that command of the area, and so that could be an interesting matchup as well. Because if Fulham can get the ball into the box early, find Mitrovic, then it could be something which might cause some problems for Watford from that point of view.
Okay, very interesting. I agree with you. To watch for Mitrovic, the crosses in the box, I think he could be very dangerous. So that's an interesting thing to watch during this match. All right, let's go to Watford's attack versus Fulham's defense. I'll just be the first to tell you, in my opinion, this is an advantage to Watford. I've watched Watford, and I know Fulham's defense right now is a work in progress. So I think you're going to agree with me. You have to give the edge to Watford here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think Watford's attack has been particularly good this season. So how they like to play is that they've got Doucouré and Kapu in the centre of midfield. They tend to play Will Hughes on the right of midfield and Roberto Pereira on the left. But those two players, they're not traditional wide players. They very much like to cut inside and kind of like roam in that area around the attackers. And so it's very much up to the likes of Daryl Yanmat and Holobas on the flanks to provide the width. So I think this game as a whole, I think it's going to be quite even, because the two teams do share quite a lot of the same kind of philosophies. Watford will, when they are going forward, they'll go forward in numbers. And similarly to what we were saying about when Fulham are on the attack, if they can catch Fulham off guard due to the amount of bodies that Fulham have committed when they've been going forward, it is something which could leave the Fulham defence a little bit exposed, and the width of the fullbacks, but then also the real creative flair that the likes of Will Hughes and Roberto Pereira will bring from midfield, it will cause a lot of problems. And as we mentioned before as well, the physical battle with Deeney and Andre Gray coming up against the Fulham defence, that could be another area where if Watford get it right, it could definitely prove fruitful for them on the day.
Okay, excellent. For the neutral, this could be a very entertaining match, but for me, you know, I'm feeling good about it, but I'm a little bit concerned because I could see what you're talking about here, Phil. All right, this is an interesting one because you've already talked about the Watford players. So in central midfield, because I think that this potentially could be where the game is won or lost or where it could end up being a draw, is right here. And actually, I just read a very interesting article by Lydia Campbell on hamian.com. She was pointing to central midfield. So I want to ask you, who do you think has the advantage here?
I think it's fairly even, to be honest, in the centre of midfield. I think in terms of how Fulham play, they do like to dominate possession, particularly in that kind of like central core area. It's very much about playing short passes and retaining possession, right, and kind of like waiting for the wide players to kind of provide the outlet when they're on the attack. But I think for Watford, it's very much the same as well. I think Kapu and Decore, they do like to keep hold of the ball in the middle of the field. They like to spray the ball out to the flanks, quite similarly to Fulham as well. I don't think across both teams, I think it's a very strong area of the pitch. I don't think there'll be too much to give, I suppose, to use that phrase, between the two teams in that area in particular. The one slight advantage that I'd maybe give Fulham in that area is just the numerical advantage that they'll have in there. It's the case that Fulham are able to crowd out the Watford midfield in that central area, and having that extra man is going to work to prove fruitful. That might well be the case, but what Watford like to do is they don't like to keep hold of the ball in that central area for too long. It's very much about spraying it out wide to the fullbacks, giving it to Pereira and Hughes, who do cut inside and do kind of add to that numerical situation in the centre of midfield as well. But I think for me, the centre of midfield, it's not an area where the game's going to be won and lost, but it's just a case of both teams being fully on their game and then being able to use that to exploit the other areas of the pitch to catch the other team off guard.
Okay, excellent. All right, Phil, let's now talk about the coaches. Before I ask you who has the coach advantage, we have to talk about Savisa, who's now going to be playing against his former team. I'm assuming he will get a very positive response from the Watford supporters at Craven Cottage. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. I think in terms of the job that Slavisa Jokanović did for Watford, I don't think anyone can question what he did for Watford during his time there. I think the fact that he left shortly after getting the team promoted, I don't think that's something which, to be honest, I don't think that's anything personal against Jokanović. I don't think that's anything about how he went about his business, about what he could bring to the team. The way that Watford do things with their managers, it's slightly different to other clubs. It's quite harsh. It's quite ruthless in terms of what they do. But they tend to bring in managers for a short period of time. Maybe have bring them in to achieve a specific objective. And maybe Jokanović, they thought he could come in. His attacking style of play would be enough to get Watford promoted to the Premier League. But then when they got promoted, they were like, right, perhaps with us being one of the weaker teams in the Premier League, obviously compared to the teams who've been up there for years and years, they were thinking, right, maybe we need a more defensive-minded coach, someone who can make us a little bit more solid in the top flight, make sure that we can grind out results rather than trying to play the attractive style of play. So I don't think it was something which was anything personal against Jokanović at all. I think the fans, I think they loved having Jokanović as a manager. Obviously, getting them promoted to the Premier League is going to be enough to get them a warm reception from the travelling Watford fans on Saturday. And I think he'll definitely be in for a warm reception. And I don't think there's any qualms about that whatsoever.
Well, that's good to hear, and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out for Slavica. Does he have a point to prove here? I don't know, because like you said, he had a job to do. He did his job. Unfortunately, Watford are a little bit different, and they decided to move on. They thought he was at a certain level, and they went to get a different manager. But if it was me, I'd be motivated. I'd be a little bit extra motivated. But we'll see with Slavica. He hasn't given any indication on that in his presses, so. He's pretty cool person when it comes to things like that. He doesn't really give anything away on that. So let's talk about the coaches. This is interesting because we've been talking glowingly about Garcia, and I could say the same about Slavica because I think Slavica has done a tremendous job to get Fulham where they are right now. And this is the style of play that they play. It's attractive. It's wonderful to watch, and they're finding their feet in the Premier League. So let me ask you, who do you give the coaching advantage to?
It's a difficult one. I think in terms of the two coaches, they do have very different philosophies. We've mentioned about Jurcanovic and his you kind of want to say all out attack kind of philosophy. It's very much about dictating possession. It's very much about
Right.
moving forward with pace and looking to almost to outscore the opposition. Having Gracia, it's a little bit of a different philosophy in that he almost doesn't put emphasis on either defending or attacking. His philosophy is very much just about making sure that the team are doing everything that they can in every single aspect of the game. It's very much about working tirelessly for the team. It's not about working for one particular individual to steal the limelight. It's about the whole team working for one another, making sure that they're fitter and they're stronger and quicker than the opposition in every single area. It's about winning those individual battles, and that's something which he's been able to do so far this season. So I think while Fulham will most likely dominate possession during the game at Craven Cottage, I think having Gracie, well, he won't have any qualms about that. He knows what Fulham are about. It'll just be about making sure that the Watford team are working harder than Fulham, and so making sure that when Fulham do slip up or when they slow down in terms of their possession play, making sure that his Watford team are ready to pounce, ready to punish Fulham and make sure that they can make it count in front of goal. So I think the two different footballing styles, but two styles which I think when coming head to head, I think it should lead to quite a high tempo, entertaining
Totally
matchup.
agree. Totally agree. Very good there, my friend. All right, let's go to predictions. Before I get your prediction for the match, I like to put my guest on the spot in two different ways. Let's start with, what does Watford need to do to win this match?
I think the main thing is basically disrupt Fulham and make sure that Fulham don't get into a rhythm of their own. I think if Watford did go down the route of sitting back and kind of like soaking up the pressure from Fulham, I think that's something which could be particularly dangerous because, as you know, and as well as a lot of fans in the Premier League are starting to learn as well. If you give Fulham time on the ball and give them space to do what they want to, that's very much just playing into Fulham's hands. So I think from Watford's point of view, it's about not getting unsettled by the amount of pressure possession that Fulham are having, but making sure that they are continuously working hard, putting them under pressure, and hopefully by doing that, they'll be able to force Fulham into some mistakes. If
Right.
they're pressing high in midfield when Fulham are passing it around, and you can force them into a misplaced pass or like a bit of control which goes slightly astray. That's the kind of thing that Watford will want. And so by pressing them high, by going hard in the tackle and very much disrupting the play, I think that's how Watford will be hoping to make their mark on the game and using that ruthless nature in front of goal that we were discussing before to make sure that they are capitalising on any mistakes that Fulham do make.
I agree with all that. I think you nailed it when it comes to a Watford perspective, because while you're talking about this, I'm thinking of some of the Fulham mistakes. And that to me is a concern. There's no question about it. And this is a team that can take advantage of Fulham's mistakes. So that's a very interesting way to look at how Watford can win this match. But now I'm going to put you in the shoes of Slavica Jokanović. I do this each and every week, and people are like, oh, don't do that. But I'm going to do it, Phil. So you're in the shoes of Slavica. What would you do if you were playing against Watford? How would you win this match?
I think I think the main way to win against Watford, I think from a Fulham point of view, is I think it's very much just about sticking with what their normal game plan is. It's about doing things the way that they feel comfortable by dictating play, by making sure that they're moving the ball quickly, but not keeping possession just for the sake of doing so. If they're passing it around in midfield and they're not getting anywhere, that's something which is going to play into Watford's hands, because that work ethic and that high press is eventually going to catch them out. So I think they need to be strong in possession, Fulham. But I think at the same time they need to make sure that they're mixing things up a little bit. Don't be playing the small passes every single time. Make sure that they're looking to exploit the wide areas, because as we mentioned before, when Watford are going forward, those fullbacks are going to go flying forward as well. So if they can get the head up and make sure that they are picking out players in the wide areas for Fulham, that's something which is going to catch Watford out. And then as well as that, when I was saying before about getting the ball into the box early, that kind of like dominance in the penalty area. Mitrovic is a handful for any defender to handle, particularly in an aerial duel. And if Fulham can move the ball quickly, get it out into a wide position, and then look to get the ball into the box at the earliest opportunity before Watford have had a chance to regroup, that could be something which could prove particularly effective for Fulham. So as much as it's about keeping possession, it's just about making sure that they're perhaps a little bit more direct, a little bit more up-tempo in the way that they are doing things in the attacking third, and making sure that they can catch Watford out when they are exposed themselves.
I tend to agree with pretty much everything you said there, Phil. All right, it's time to get your prediction, and then I'll share mine.
Okay, so I think in terms of my prediction, I think the first thing to say is that I'd be extremely surprised if there wasn't any goals in this one. I think the way that both teams are going to set up, as I mentioned before, it's going to be a high energy game. I think it's going to be quite an entertaining matchup. I think people who are watching on, they might see Watford against Fulham on a Saturday lunchtime over here in England. They might see it as perhaps not the most entertaining of fixtures, or the two like most glamorous teams, but I think both teams are certainly going to put on quite a display and show exactly why they're.
Totally agree.
Why I think both sides will probably be able to avoid being anywhere near that relegation zone come the end of the season. So I think there'll be goals in it. I think it'll be quite tight. I'd probably say I reckon Fulham might not get the result in this one. I think Watford might nick it 2-1 in my opinion. I think Fulham will definitely cause problems, but I think the experience and the physicality of the likes of Troy Deeney and Andre Gray, I think it might just be a little bit too much for Fulham's defence to handle, particularly if they are a little bit exposed when they're keeping hold of the ball. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Watford for this one.
Okay, definitely understand why you went in that direction. And I've listened to everything that you've had to share, and I've done my due diligence, my homework on Watford. And obviously, I know a little bit about Fulham, and I've been giving this a lot of thought. And maybe I'm being naive here, but I look back at that match that I watched for Watford against Burnley and thought that Fulham could beat both of these teams, Phil. I watched the match, and then I watched the Manchester United match. I was actually impressed with how Watford played, and obviously beating Tottenham Hotspur, that's impressive too. So they've had some impressive victories. But I look at these styles, and we're talking about the styles, and I think it's actually a good matchup for Fulham if they can clean things up, if they don't make the mistakes. So maybe, again, I am stupidly thinking that they won't make that many mistakes. I'm actually going for a high-scoring affair, my friend. I'm going 4-2 to Fulham. I think this is going to be a shootout. So this is what I'm going. I think Fulham are going to score a decent amount of goals. Nothing against Watford, and I know Watford have played Manchester United, and they've also played Tottenham Hotspur that can score a good amount of goals. At Craven Cottage, I watched Fulham play against Burnley, and Burnley last season were known for the defense. I saw Fulham tear them apart, and I have a good feeling that they're going to be able to cause some problems to Watford. And one of the things that you already talked about, balls in the box, I can see that happening. I can see that Fulham taking advantage of Watford wide when they have that advantage. I could see that happening. So I'm going 4-2, but we'll see. You know, you could be right as well. I'm being bold here. I'm not, you know, again, I'm not going to be on the fence. Some of my co-hosts are on the fence. I'm going bold. I'm saying 4-2 to Fulham, Phil. All right. Great show, my friend. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
No problem. My pleasure.
I really enjoyed this. And hopefully, you know, you and I have talked about this. I would love to do a show with you and the television star Ryan O'Donovan. Hopefully we can do a show together sometime.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have to get in touch with his agent and make sure that he can free up some time for us. But yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Ryan, if you're listening, I'm just kidding around with you, okay? All right, well, listen, this has been a great show, but it is time to wrap it up. For my guest, Phil Spencer from Football Down London, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.